Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the text. Did you ever see such a list of heavies in your life? Now, when you stop and think about it, we've got a tremendous opposition to everything that we stand for in this world. Now, let me go through this one more time. Principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual hosts, a witness in the heavenly places. It makes you wonder sometimes how in the world we stand a chance. Because, see, we all possess a very serious gap in our basic nature. We have a gap between what we know and what we don't know. And in this gap, all of this, for lack of a better word, stuff, all of this evil moves. And it's where it does its most damage, is at this point. And immediately you have to ask the question, why in the world, we didn't ask to go up against this type of evil, we didn't ask for all this, why in the world does it exist? So why do we have to even put up with evil in the world? Well, the answer to this, as most of us know, all of us I'm sure, that we have to refresh once in a while, is original sin. And when original sin came into the world, it branded each and every one of us from that point on as sinners. But God didn't leave us that way, fortunately. He gave us several, for lack of a better word, outs that we can use to move towards the goal that he has arranged for us, namely Christ Jesus. First of all, this is prayer. Now, prayer isn't all that easy to understand when we really stop to think about it. But it's a lot, if I may use an analogy, it's a lot like a phone hanging on the wall. And it has a crank, one of the old-style cranks. See, the very center has a little bit of problem with a dial phone and a little bit of problem with a push-button phone because we've had good success with the dial, with the crank. But constantly we're going to keep using that crank, right? And from the time I know, if you're a little bit fire, you ring this, turn this crank and ring this operator. And the operator, of course, is Jesus Christ. He relays then our prayer to God. Not guided, but extremely simplistic or sophisticated theological mind. But once in a while, you have to be shocked with a simple analogy. Because you see, you have to remember, this is a total emergency phone. Total emergency phone. And too often, we forget the fact that it's even there. And we run around trying to figure out our own problems and trying to figure out this and that. And in the final analysis, see, we're ignoring this phone on the wall. And that's part of the human dilemma when you stop and think about it. And it's part of the human dilemma, but we question everything. See, the gift of reason, and it's a gift, the gift of reason also carries with it a type of curse. Because with that reason, we can simply digest everything, but by the same token, we can talk it away. And when we talk it away, in the final analysis, that means that the thing God has given us doesn't have the meaning it originally was intended to have. And we can be so obstinate in this. So obstinate because there's nothing more deliberately impervious to what God wants us to do in a human being. All right? And secondly, when you stop and think about it, God doesn't leave it itself. Now you can have conversations all over the place with God, people, and more often than not, we ignore that. So he gave us a conscience. It's supposed to bother us if we don't pray. And supposed to bother us if we do something wrong. But see, once again, human beings possess that map to take that conscience and flip it around and to squeeze it and twist it and tell it because it's the poor conscience that it serves no function anymore. Now, at this point, we have run into a problem with regard to two things God has given us. To contact Him, to believe in Him, to try and determine how we're supposed to live this life. And each one of these things that we're ignoring and that we're twisting around and all that good stuff, each one of those things makes this whole group of weird people, when we use that phrase, this whole group of people that want us to sin, beings, maybe is a better word, whole group of beings that want us to sin, it makes those beings smile. Because that's their function, see? To make us see their conscience die. To make us ignore prayers, exchange of communications with God. So God, in His magnificent wisdom, gave us some other aid. He gave us Scripture. But that creates problems too. Because we take Scripture, and by the time we get done explaining it, understanding it, redigesting it, readjusting it, Scripture is just another book. So God, in His magnificent wisdom, gave us another gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to help us understand what Scripture is all about. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. And it's not important necessarily that we do. Just recognize the fact that He's there to help us. But see, all of this I've mentioned, we can ignore. The one thing we can't ignore as Christians is the thing I'm going to mention now. I don't know what goes through your mind when you mention the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. But in my mind, I have this God-man hanging on the cross, and see people down below, and I'm thinking, now this man, this God-man, hanging on the cross, died for sins I was yet to commit. That we were yet to commit. And I think that is really heavy. Stop and think for a minute. He's dying for sins that haven't happened yet. That were yet to happen. There have been many influences in my life, some of them sitting out here in the auditorium now, in the chapel now. But probably the greatest influence in my life was a man who never went to school, who worked hard all of his life, and who rarely, if ever, complained. That man was my grandfather. And he lived his life by a maxim. He lived his life saying that God never gives you a trial by which He doesn't also give you means with which to handle that trial. And I was 5 years old at the time He laid that on me, and I kind of repeated the children do when older people lay the experience of the years on them. But He was right. He was dead right. Because you see, by giving us the gift of Jesus Christ, the trials that God gives us also gives us this out to Jesus Christ to handle the problems the world has to solve. And when you stop and think about it, what better gift could God possibly have given us than His Son? Because that Son is the sole means by which we can inherit eternal life, life after death. Otherwise, when we die, we go to hell, and who knows what's going to happen there. Now, I don't want to bore you with this walk down the systematic trail, but sometimes we have to be reminded of all these avenues that God has given us to contact Him, to appreciate Him, to know that He loves us, and to concentrate on the sole means of salvation, His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Missouri is going to get so upset once in a while with manipulation of the Word of God, with manipulation of this phone on the wall with the crank, and all this good stuff. And maybe it's too simplistic to use that example for sophisticated theological mind. I don't know. But I think the point has to be brought home. That we spend so much time worrying about proper prayers, proper reading of Scripture, that we forget the point of the whole thing, see? And that's when the principalities, these evils and what have you, come out of this gap and grab you, grab us. If you remember from the text, we said there was one offensive weapon given in the text. The weapon was a sword. Now, to those of us in the 20th century, the idea of someone, a first century soldier standing there with a sword, probably a two-edged sword, doesn't say, was standing there with a sword, and it's a little bit innocuous. But the point is still that that sword that Paul uses in this text is the Word of God. And when you mess around with the Word of God and explain it away, you're messing around with the one way of finding out about the one means of salvation, Jesus Christ. And what greater danger is there for us than to either explain away or manipulate the Word that we lose sight of the reason the Word is given. And the reason is that Jesus Christ came, He died for our sins, and we have to believe that. And it's not easy. But God has done His best to try and make it not that difficult either. Through prayer, through conscience, through Scripture, and what have you. So when it finally boils down to the final number, the final line, faith is what we say, the faith in the fact that Christ died.